you want to know the Bible better? Are you a Sunday school teacher, deacon, or a Christian seeking to know God's Word? Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE for more information. CTU, training ministry workers since 1982. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you once again for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. It's always our delight to have you join in the dialogue and discussion on the issue of the day. We're talking about an issue today that I think is paramount for us to understand the quagmire, the condition, the decline that we're in as a constitutional republic as a result of the Socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party. I'm saying the Democrats are being seen today in their position of insurrection, standing against, undermining, trying to eviscerate our Constitution and all that it stands for. Ladies and gentlemen, we are so thankful that we can recognize the hand of God and know that God is still on the throne, that God's not abandoned us. So all that we say that might sound negative, it's because we want us to understand where we are and what is taking place, and then what is the fix? What is the answer? What direction do we take as Christians, conservatives, and patriots? We continue to be salt and light. We continue to be the patriots that we should be in our nation. We continue to trust God and to believe that God is still on the throne. We continue to pray. We continue to turn, as the scripture says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, turn from our wicked ways and ask God to heal our land. So there is an answer, but we need to know the enemy. We need to know what is taking place. And we have our very special guest today that is with us, Congressman Mike Hill, former District 1 representative for the state of Florida. And Jim had just called in before the news break. Jim, finish your thought for just a moment.
In regards to, sir?
In regards to where we stand in relationship to the orders to from the Democrats to disobey legal orders. And then the question about the, I call it the Islamic jihadist that drove 3,000 miles to pull the trigger with a 357 Magnum Smith & Wesson, as I understand the identification of the weapon, and shooting at 2 National Guardsmen. Listen, here's my position on it, and you can wrap up the loose ends. Here's my position. The Democrats, in essence, are encouraging to have civilians, or citizens, that is, citizens of America, to be fired upon. That's the National Guardsmen, they're citizens. They're not aliens. They're not Islamic jihadists. They're there to protect our rights and our freedoms in the nation. And yet there's the movement today by the Socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party to fire upon citizens. And that's what this Islamic jihadist has done. And so my question then, the bottom line is, should we continue to allow the several hundred thousand, I've forgotten, 100,000, 200,000 Afghans that were brought in and dropped all over America by the Biden administration, should they be deported? Should they be removed? Should they be investigated? Should we look at it with a jaundiced eye when we see them saying, and now even the media is saying that, well, Trump gave the orders. It's because what Trump has done that this man shot the 2 National Guardsmen. Filter through some of that dialogue and diatribe coming from the Democrats about that.
Completely disingenuous. Twice I've used that word today. Mainly because if you look at it, Those Afghan veterans, a lot of them were not vetted. The Biden and the Obama administration themselves had used multiple drone strikes against targets. In particular, during that debacle where Bagram Air Base was evacuated, Biden authorized the use of a drone strike that killed an Afghan national and his family, along with, I think we had, 13 or 14 other service members that were severely wounded, not by our strike, but by
Afghans.
Yes. None of these individuals were vetted. How can you vet somebody from a foreign nation that has been in the state of war for, when we go into Afghanistan, 2002.
We were involved for about 20 years, and about 20 years,
yeah.
Russia was involved for the past 50 to 60 years, we could say. Hold your thought for just a moment. Let's jump over to Congressman Hill. Congressman Hill, is there any such thing as vetting an Afghanistan person and by way of reference when we had the Jen Psaki that said they were thoroughly vetted? And the Biden administration said all of them that were brought in were vetted. Now, we're talking about 25 million illegals that have come in, not counting the 100,000 to 150,000 Afghans. Tell me what the process would be in your mind for calling them thoroughly vetted.
What they call being vetted, Dr. Youngblood, is for these illegal immigrants and for these Afghanis to apply for government benefits, EBT cards, free education, free medical, just to apply for it. And if once they apply for it, if that government official approves it, then they've been vetted. That's what they call vetting. They haven't done anything in terms of checking their background to see if they are Islamic jihadists, who, by the way, if they are, their Quran, their belief is that they are to overthrow any government that does not succumb to Islam, and that they are to establish an Islamic caliphate in every country around the world. That is what their Quran tells them to do. So if they are of the Islamic faith, right away, that makes them enemies of our Constitution. There was no vetting done with this. And as you say, Dr. Youngblood, what that video did was to give those who are here, those Islamic jihadists who are here, authorization to now do open season on any National Guard or ICE agent who is deporting people, who we should be deporting. It's not only those who came across our border during the Biden administration, the 20 million plus who came streaming across our border. Not only should we be deporting them, we should be deporting every Islamic jihadist that we see trying to set up their own communities like Dearborn, Michigan, like we see them doing in Minneapolis, Minnesota with the Somalis, like we see them doing in Texas, where they are actually trying to set up their own Sharia courts, their own Sharia law. They're electing their own Islamic representatives here in the United States. Those are the ones who should be vetted and deported, in my mind. That's my opinion, Dr. Youngblood.
Absolutely. Jim, one other question, and we'll let you go. Congressman Hill just spoke of, and I've just read an article just the other day, where in Texas there's a push for the Islamic jihadists to dominate Texas. They have decided, the Islamic jihadists, they've determined that Texas is the target to take over Texas, just as they have large portions of Michigan, in particular Dearborn, Michigan. And according to the article that I've read on that, and two or three others in recent months, where in Dearborn, Michigan, and now Governor Abbott is finding that in Texas, the Islamics have literally set up Sharia law courts secretly in Texas that they are now running, where Islamics have the Islamic courts circumventing, ignoring American courts and Texas courts. What should be done with something like that, Jim?
I think Governor Abbott's doing the best that he can there within reason. He's got a lot of court cases against him because of the issues or the legislation he's proposed to limit these kinds of things occurring, particularly that village where they wanted to set up, and you couldn't live there unless you were of the Muslim faith. You couldn't sell the house and things of that nature.
That was Epic Village. The governor, by executive order, stopped it. The courts overruled it. It's still going full steam ahead, and it will be just as they had planned it. A major mosque will be the centerpiece, and all ownership will be for Muslims. The streets will be named after jihadist martyrs, and it will be in the state of Texas. The state of Texas got 450,000 Islamic jihadists now, 330 Islamic mosques in the state of Texas. They put a target on it, and what we're seeing is Texas to be ultimately taken over by Islam, and New York City will be taken over by Islam, because the incoming mayor has already said that the Muslims will no longer live in the shadows in New York City, but they will operate out of City Hall. So that's the signal that he's sending now. But Jim, it demands our prayer, our constant vigilance, and understanding what is happening, and keep on asking God to intervene and protect us as a nation. Jim, thank you, brother, for your call
thank
today,
you.
And God bless you. I believe Tom is on the line. Tom, go over the question or comments, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, I think this thing can easily be summed up. I was down on St. George Street in St. Augustine, and I met a gentleman and his wife, and struck up a conversation, and they were from Ohio, Cleveland, I think, and she said that, well, just tell me what bad thing has these illegals done? What what's so bad? And I said, well, ma'am, there's a lot of women that are mothers that they're mourning the loss of their child, where a drunken Hispanic has killed their child in a car crash, a drug overdose. I said, there's plenty of things they're doing wrong. You just don't see it because you choose not to. But Dr. Youngblood, that woman from Ohio is not the cause of the problem. She's a useful idiot, but there's only one Satan. And I think that you can trace this back to just a couple people. I think George Soros is one of the biggest promoters of all this. And what is his end game? I really don't know, Dr. Youngblood.
Well, Tom, the end game for George The end game of George Soros is any nation that he's ever attempted to do this. He's going in to undermine, tear down, and destroy the financial base. And once it crumbles, he goes back in and buys it for pennies on the dollar. And yes, George Soros is the major financier of what we see taking place with the Islamic jihadists today. And it is George Soros' goal is to destroy anything that Trump is trying to do. And by the way, just a little footnote to that. I believe it was Congressman Hill talked a moment ago about the ones that are the rhinos in the Republican Party that's preventing President Trump. Do you realize right at this very moment that President Trump has, I believe it's 120, 130 different appointees that's not been confirmed yet, and a year has transpired? And yet Senator Thune has not done anything about it. He could have an emergency session and appoint them all at one time. It's not being done. There's foot dragging on the part of the rhinos and the Senate that's preventing Trump from going forward with what he needs to do. And yes, we need to understand. I'm looking at an article, Tom, and I'll get your take on it, and then we'll pick back up with Congressman Hill. This article says, I want ISIS to kill all of you. Council on American Islamic Relations now considered a terrorist organization in at least one state. And it goes on to talk about the Muslim Brotherhood, a social front for the militant jihadists around the world, and CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations, have been designated a foreign terrorist and transnational criminal organization by the state of Texas. And President Trump just, by executive order, named the Muslim Brotherhood and care as terrorist organizations. I'm thankful for that. And so I pray that as a result of that, there'll be a deep dive into what is taking place among those that are in America that have come here that are Islamic jihadists. And just a little footnote, Tom, and that is when 9/11 took place, the FBI did a commission study, about 600 pages in 2006, was developed and issued as to the cause of 9/11. And in that book, and I've read the majority of it, in that book it states very clearly that what caused the 19 jihadists to come against America and try to destroy us was, number one, they read and believed the Quran. They read and believed the Quran. And so that is the bottom line. And, Tom, it demands our prayer, it demands our attention and our constant vigilance and knowing and seeing. We're seeing the pieces coming together today. And it's brought about as a result of auto-pen Biden that left it to those that were around him, the socialist, Marxist, communist, globalist, that wanted to undermine and destroy America. So, Tom, it demands our prayer and keep looking up, knowing that our redemption draweth nigh. Thank you so much for calling. Congressman Hill, when we see what the Quran says in relationship to the Islamics, and kill them, all non-believers, wherever you find them, kill them, such as the recompense of the disbelievers, that is in Surah 2191, Surah 2193. Fight until there's no more disbelief in Allah, Surah 2216. Jihad, that is holy fighting, is Allah's cause for every ordained for Muslims. Listen, Congressman Hill, I believe we're witnessing today the coming together, the standing up, the rising up of the Islamic Sharia group that's wanting to control the United States of America. So I'm thankful to see what President Trump is doing. But when we see that we have the Democrats wanting the Islamic jihadists to stand up and shoot citizens as the National Guardsmen, what should be done in relationship to? Now, let me just back up a moment. The one that did the shooting, the Islamic jihadist that drove 3,000 miles from Washington State, pulled the trigger, shot two National Guardsmen. One's dead, one is in critical condition. What should be done to that person? They're talking about now maybe he got radicalized in America. They're talking about maybe as a result of what he had experienced under the guise and disguise and the directions of the CIA in Afghanistan, that maybe that's what was worrying him so. Maybe that's what warped his mind. Maybe that's what caused him to do it. All of these things. What say you in relationship to what he did, how he did it, why he did it, what should be done?
Well, first of all, there's no excuse for what he did, Dr. Youngblood. There's no excuse for you to just go and murder somebody in cold blood like that. I don't care if your Quran tells you to do that. I don't care if, as falsely, the Democrats are saying that he was radicalized while here in the United States. How did that happen? We were paying for him to live in an apartment for free. We were paying for his food for free. We were paying for his children to go to school for free. How did that radicalize you? That's nonsense. And even if it did, that is no excuse for you to just go and shoot somebody in cold blood. So what should happen to him? He should have a quick and speedy trial. If he is found guilty, which I believe he will be, all the evidence points to it, then he should be found guilty and he should be given a death penalty and taken care of rapidly. And none of this nonsense like we saw with the killer at Fort Hood or the killers at Pensacola Naval Air Station a number of years ago, where their trial drags on for years, and then they're still sitting around being fed three times a day. None of that nonsense. Dr. Youngblood, there was a murderer here in Pensacola about 20 years ago who shot an abortion doctor in the back as he was entering a facility. Murdered him.
I recall that, yes.
Yeah, that was wrong. He should not have done that, even though his belief was that the doctor was going in there murdering babies, which he was, in fact, and he was defending the unborn. He still had no right to shoot that doctor in the back like that. They gave that young man, I believe he was 21, 22 years old, they gave him a speedy trial. And I'm telling you, Dr. Youngblood, I'm going from memory, he was put to death in about 6 to 7 months. They gave him a death penalty, and he was gone. Mm-hmm. None of this appeal after appeal, and here it is 20 years later. They put that young man to death. So what I'm saying is that this Islamic jihadist who drove, as you say, 3,000 miles, premeditated murder.
Yes.
First degree premeditated murder. That doing that, he should get a speedy trial, and he should swiftly, in my opinion, receive the death penalty for what he did. Why? Not only as punishment for his crime, but also as a deterrent to others who might think that they could try to do the same thing.
Absolutely. And one of the things that's taking place, Congressman Hill, that I believe our listeners are probably not aware of at all, going back to Texas with the Islamic jihadists, Islamic groups in Texas rake in $13 million in taxpayer-funded grants amid Governor Abbott's battle against Sharia law. Texas Governor Abbott has taken aggressive action this week against Sharia law, the Muslim Brotherhood, and the Council on American-Islamic Relations. Abbott announced on Tuesday that he had designated the Muslim Brotherhood in care a foreign terrorist transnational criminal organization. The following day, Abbott urged local district attorneys to investigate Sharia law courts now operating in Texas and defying state and federal law to punish Islamic codes. So my question is, Congressman Hill, and we know this is taking place, Islamic-controlled police departments in Dearborn, Michigan, and other places in America. What should be done when we see this uprising of Islam and the Islamic goal to take blue cities, and now they're focusing on taking an entire red state, the free state of Texas? How should we respond as Christians? Should we believe that, well, ho-hum, it's going to happen, there's nothing we can do? Or should we vet clearly our candidates running for office and demand that they represent we the people and the Constitution of the United States of America and not bow to Islamic jihadist demands? How should we respond to it? What should Christians do today?
Dr. Youngblood, how we should respond is not only vet candidates who are running for office. Yes, that is a bare minimum that should be done. But we should rise up as American citizens and demand that this be stopped. We should demand that these Islamic courts be disbanded, be disbarred, to have no legal authority anywhere in America. And this is my opinion, Dr. Youngblood, we should start deporting these Islamic jihadists intention of becoming American citizens. Their intention is not to assimilate and adhere to our Constitution, to adhere to our culture. Their intention is to take over America. And they're at the beginning stages of it. Now we should nip it in the bud and stop it before it goes any further. And that includes in our state of Florida also.
Absolutely.
We need to stop this. You know, Dr. Youngblood, they say that there is no religious test in our Constitution for running for office. That's true. There is no religious test that says you have to belong to a certain religion, even though in our founding fathers in the original 13 colonies, as you, part of your oath of office, when you were elected and had to say the oath of office, you had to declare that Jesus Christ was your Lord and Savior.
Amen.
That was part of the oath of office. So what I do, Dr. Youngblood, is not in our Constitution, but when I vet candidates, as you say, we must do that. When I vet candidates, there may not be a religious vetting process in our Constitution, but I have one personally.
Yes.
And I ask each candidate, tell me about your testimony.
Amen.
And I don't want to hear, well, my grandfather went to such and such church. My mother, she volunteered for such. I want to know about your testimony.
Yes.
And if you can't tell me your testimony properly, that you are a Christian, Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you are not getting my vote. Period.
That's very well said and should be heard, understood, and adhered to by every listener that's tuned in today. Now, one other thing in relationship to Texas and what's happening. I'm looking at this article. It says, this is dealing with Texas. Since roughly since 2016, $63 million in federal and state funds have passed through the Texas, through nonprofit organizations, listen to this, including $55 million given to churches and synagogues, and smaller portions went to mosques, according to Abbott's office. In other words, these religious church organizations, nonprofits, that are getting federal dollars, and with those federal dollars, they're enhancing the Islamic jihadist stronghold in America. I think that should be stopped. I am personally 100% for stopping the millions upon millions of dollars flowing through fake, phony, false organizations that are set up by denominational organizations to fund these illegal immigrants, illegal jihadists, these illegal invaders that are coming in, that's taking over and destroying our constitutional republic. I think it is a sad, sad, sad shame and a sin against God for religious organizations to do that. I think that it's time that we say, no, shut down the checkbook, close the bank account, stop putting out the funds in that fashion. Carson, may hold a moment. I believe we have Lily on the line. Lily, go over the question or comment, please.
Thank you very much, Dr. Youngblood. God bless you for what you're doing. And Congressman Hill is always a blessing. Thank God for him and for the Americans, the Christians who are spying and who are standing up strong. This is spiritual warfare, the battle of the ages, evil against good. But thank God, our great eternal God, he's on the throne and he's paying attention. Praise God. We know he is. He raised up Donald Trump before our very eyes, the greatest miracle that we can ever think of. That sniper's bullet that brushed his ears. I always think the very noise of it was enough to shatter his head. And brushed his ears, produced some blood, and he's okay. God raised him up for such a time as this.
Absolutely. Lily, because of our time restraints, I have to cut it short. But one of the things that you're saying is, and as one preacher said after President Trump was shot in Butler, Pennsylvania, it was that millimeter moment when that bullet just barely grazed his ear and didn't take his life. We should be eternally thankful and grateful for that. But Lily, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you. But Congressman Hill, again, our time's wrapped up. One final thing. Looking at the headline, says, Democrats AG threatened to arrest federal agents for enforcing immigration laws. Very quickly, how should we respond to that?
What we should do, Dr. Youngblood, is first of all, make sure that we support those who are doing their job to deport illegal immigrants. We should voice loudly and show our support for them, and also to go along with, we'll use the Democrats' terms, do not obey an illegal or unlawful order coming from these judges.
Well said. Congressman Hill, thank you so much for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about